RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our Midwest correspondent is Carrie Cox. Carrie is a passionate reader, writer, and photographer. She is on a quest to make memories with her husband and sons while exploring the world in her Jayco travel trailer, a.k.a. Birdie, whether she's headed to a state park close to home or an epic national park road trip. She loves to travel with Birdie, and she also loves to blog about it over at travelswithbirdie.com, and we love reading those blog posts. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Speaking of blog posts, you've got another great one on this campground that I'm going to link to in the show notes and send everybody over to read along with listening to this. Where are you taking us to this week?
I'm taking you to the shadow of the awe-inspiring Devil's Tower National Monument in Wyoming, to the Devil's Tower KOA.
This is very exciting. Can't wait to dive into another very important campground review because Devil's Tower is on so many people's bucket lists. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy quote to another Progressive policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. All right, Carrie, before we dive into this campground review, help not only situate us geographically, but why don't you tell us where you were on your road trip? Because it was a pretty epic road trip when you stopped at this campground.
That's right. So a lot of people kind of take this classic American road trip through South Dakota to Wyoming because you can hit the Mount Rushmore, the Black Hills, and head over to Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons. And on our way, we had to decide whether or not to go to the Devil's Tower. It sits just far enough off the interstate that it's not a place where you can just stop, you know, and see it. You have to decide if you have the number of hours to swing by there or if you're going to stay the night. And so we decided to stay two nights at the Devil's Tower so that we would have one full day to explore it in the area.
So it took you off that sort of standard path or road, you know, like road trip path that a lot of people take.
That's right. So if you're heading east or west, whichever direction you're coming from on Interstate 90, the Devil's Tower sits about 40 minutes north. So it's just kind of just far enough out of the way, but we opted to do it and we were so glad we did.
Okay. So let's dive into the actual campground itself. It's a KOA. Did you use your Value Rewards card to get a discount?
I did. In fact, I even had a gift certificate from getting my roadside assistance program. So I actually had a $70 gift certificate to use at this KOA, which was exciting.
Okay. Now let's talk about price since we just brought it up right here. What is the range at this campground?
It looked like $50 to $65 a night for them. They have full hookups and some sites without the sewer. So you have water electric sites. Water electric sites seem to be kind of most of them, but they're putting in a lot more sewer sites as well.
All right. And what about reservations? Did you book this far in advance when you were booking the rest of this trip? Or is this kind of, are you able to decide on a whim, do you think, whether or not you should stop by?
We booked it in November of the year before we went in June. So we booked it really far in advance. In fact, we were campsite number one. I don't know if that really meant we were literally like the first kind of felt like that. But so we booked early. And if you're heading there in August, as I mentioned on the Rafter J-Bar Ranch campground review, that's when the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally happens at some point in August. And so this would be overflowing during that time. So I think that they fill up. I think you want to book early, but it probably doesn't hesitate. You know, it doesn't hurt to ask if you find out you're going to be in the area and don't have reservations. You might call and see what they have.
All right. Now, one of the reasons always to make reservations is in advance is not just to get a site, but to get one of the best sites in a campground. And sort of there's a unique quality to this campground that stands out, right? It makes it a pretty special place to stay when you're in this area. What does it sort of have that makes this shine?
Well, it literally sits under the Devil's Tower. So from most of the campground, you see the tower towering over you. And if you want a specific site that sees the tower, we were in site number one, as I said. Sites 1 through 9 are these really nice little back-end sites with some trees that are the closest to the tower. And then there's just kind of this lovely field in front of you. So these were really our favorite spots of the campground. But I think from most of the sites, you'll be able to see some sort of view.
Okay.
But just maybe not as great as ours.
Not as great as yours, right. Yeah. But so you might want to specify if you want that great view.
That's right.
What about size of these sites? I mean, it's a KOA. It's by a major destination. You know, sometimes that translates into smaller sites. Is that the case for here?
That's right. So even though you're right by this national park, you're not in a national park campground. This is a KOA. It's pretty standard as far as what you would expect from the KOA sites being pretty tight. We were lucky, again, being site number one was an end site, so we didn't have a rig on the other side of us, which is always nice. But other than that, they're decent. They're what you'd expect at a KOA.
This is almost like becoming your sort of trademark thing, the end site, right?
That's right.
You end up at the end of a row a lot, and you seem to like that.
We do, because you come out your front door and you don't have anybody else to look at. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, we had an end site in two different campgrounds that we've reviewed that we loved, at the Cleveland KOA and also up in Queechee, Pine Valley in Vermont. And I think both times we loved those sites because it almost feels like you have a little bit of a yard.
That's right. And I don't think we've ever requested it. So at this KOA, what we did request was shade because we have a pretty small AC. So we knew we needed some shade since it gets pretty warm here. And we told the KOA we'd really like a view and some shade. And they hooked us right up with this lovely site.
Okay. So we know that this is the kind of campground you're going to stay at because you're visiting a destination. It has a great view of that destination, of that Devil's Tower. But what else is at the campground to kind of enjoy while you're there?
They have a nice pool, which if you've been in the camp in the Devil's Tower hiking all day, it's a nice place to come back and relax. And you can see the tower towering over the pool, which is kind of cool. And they have a nice little playground, which had an old-fashioned, I forgot the word, that spins in a circle.
Like merry-go-round, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see those much anymore.
You don't. And with teen and tween children, you know, playgrounds aren't very high on their list, but they haven't seen merry-go-rounds quite enough. And so it's still novel to them. And even they'll play on a playground.
Even I will play on a merry-go-round with my kids when we find them. I mean, usually someone gets hurt and flies off, but I will join in on that fun.
I think that is the teen and tween boy challenge, is to see if they can get someone to fly off. But
any other activities there at the campground?
You can walk over to the river. I believe it's called the Belle Fourche River, runs through the campground. You can walk and check that out. And there's just this pretty cliff kind of cliffs over it that are really colorful and unique. And so it's a great place to do a photo walk. And there's lots of wildlife in the campground, especially I'm sure if you're up in the morning, you'd see a variety of wildlife. And then the activity that's super exciting, I might be jumping ahead, is that they have a nightly showing of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So if your listeners aren't familiar, you have to watch this movie before you go, or at the campground, or both, like we did, before you go to the Devil's Tower, because it figures prominently in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. All of these people across America get obsessed with building this shape of the tower. Kind of the iconic moment is when he builds it out of mashed potatoes. And so, I can't reveal all of the story,
You don't want to give it away.
You don't want to give it. But then part of that movie was filmed at this campground. And so every night they have a television they open up and you can join in a nightly viewing of the Close Encounters of the Third Kind with the tower towering over you. So it's really just like, you can't do that anywhere else. So it's kind of a fun, unique thing. And it was just fun to be there with other travelers and be sharing in this movie and this great location. So that's a really cool activity you won't find anywhere else.
It is. I love that. And I also love the fact that this is one of those chances to really hook your kids, right? Like when you do that thing ahead of time and they're looking forward to experience it when you're there, a movie is a really good way to do that. I mean, we've watched movies like Miracle on Ice before visiting Lake Placid or just things like that really get the kids into the area a little more. And then to be able to watch the movie again while you're there is actually more enjoyable sometimes.
Yeah. So, and it was nice having seen it before we went, because that way if we did miss out on part of it or couldn't hear it quite well enough, we still knew what was going on and we could still join the fun. So, and this movie, I have to say, is pretty family safe. I wasn't sure when we rented it because you know how movies from the 80s, sometimes you're just like, is this really going to be okay? It was. It was
good, language, right? Good, you're always surprised at the language in movies from the 80s.
Yeah, and since it had aliens, I wasn't sure if it was going to be like aliens eating people or, you know, but it was not too scary. Pretty okay for big kids.
Okay. So. Now, what about, speaking of big kids, what about our Wi-Fi situation here?
It seems like we had a little bit of trouble connecting because I know this because one of the things we ended up doing was going across the street. There's a little store called the Devil's Tower Trading Post. Actually, it's a huge store, not a little store, but the Devil's Tower Trading Post, and they had super fast Wi-Fi. So we went over there, bought some ice cream, and hung out on the porch. Since I'm a college student as well, I had to take some tests from the road. And so this was a great place to kind of hang out, have some ice cream, take a test, and use their super fast Wi-Fi. I think in the campground, it was functional, but not great.
So is that within walking distance?
Yes, it's just right across the road. So you can walk across there. And this store has original 1980s Close Encounters of the Third Kind trading cards, which you probably won't find anywhere else. So,
and were some of those trading cards purchased?
I think we resisted, but it was pretty cool. We took a picture of them. That's how we roll. You can't buy the souvenir. We'll just take a picture of it.
Love it. Good idea. I'm going to start encouraging our boys. Take a picture. It's just as good. And cell phone service, I suppose you could make and receive calls.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So even though this is pretty, you kind of feel a little bit like you're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no chain stores. There's no grocery stores. There's just, you're not in a town here. You're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So we were pleased that we could use our phone.
All right. So is that, would that sort of be one of your insider tips, is don't arrive here like needing to go to the grocery store?
That is exactly right. Because even though that Devil's Tower Trading Post is there, and then the KOA has its own little camp store, there's just really, if you want to stock up on groceries, you're really not going to do it here. We drove about 10 miles away over to the little town of Hullett to check it out and see what was there. And they had a pretty good little market. But again, it was also pretty small. So you're going to be hit and miss on what you can find. But
all right. Now, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but I know that you do have high standards for your restroom facilities. You all do not use your bathroom or your shower in the camper, right?
That's right. We've turned our shower into a closet for this kind of road trip. So we have our hanging clothes hanging in there and our dirty clothes down in the tub. And we just haven't ever wanted to mess with the water heater and all of that. So we always use the shower houses. And that would be definitely a ding I would give this KOA. They were in the process of remodeling two of the bathhouses. So I think maybe all of the people were using the ones that were still there, which may have contributed to them not being as clean as I would like. But they also kind of gave me just the heebie-jeebies because they were single rooms where you had to lock the door and it just felt a little claustrophobic and there were bugs in there. So I didn't end up showering. I was just like, ew, never mind.
And can always go for a couple of days if there's any heebie-jeebie sort of thing involved. Right. Absolutely.
Yes. My son came back from the shower. He had named the bugs in his shower. So right then I kind of knew that. Like, I don't think I want to. I checked it out and decided, no, not for me. So we decided not to. Now, hopefully, once they remodel the other restrooms, maybe they'll have more variety of restroom options and they won't be as crowded and will be a little cleaner. But other than that, that was kind of our big ding.
So, I'm assuming that's your nobody's perfect, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to pick another one too, since I just sort of led you into that one.
Yeah. So that was what I had written down. And I had read some reviews that said sometimes they have electrical surges, maybe especially when it rains. And while we were there, actually one morning the electric and the water went out. Now, I think that also had to do with all the new sites they were putting in. I think somebody hit something they weren't supposed to hit. So it was one of those deals where at 6 a.m, the air conditioner went off. So immediately I hopped up like, did the air break? Is it broken? You know, and I think there's something wrong with our trailer. Well, then I pop my head out and I see everybody else popping their heads out. So we realized it was kind of a campground thing, which it ended up being fine because we hopped up and got on the road because we had a long drive that day to get to our next location. So it didn't end up bothering us because we weren't staying, but that happened. So I don't know if it happens ever often.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much for that great review of Devil's Tower KOA in Devil's Tower, Wyoming. Now, since this is the sort of place where, you know, you definitely go to see one major attraction, we are going to be back in a minute and Carrie's going to tell us all about that attraction. But I think, Carrie, we're also going to ask, you know, for some guidance in terms of, you know, the amount of time that people want to schedule and kind of how you did that and how your couple of days here went. So stay tuned and we'll be right back to talk to Carrie about Devil's Tower.
Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are talking with Carrie Cox of TravelsWithBirdie.com about the Devil's Tower KOA in Devil's Tower, Wyoming, one of the stops on her epic summer road trip this summer that we have heard so much about on Campground of the Week and over on RV Family Travel Atlas. So now she's going to tell us a little more about what they did on this stop. So Carrie, get us started by kind of helping people decide how long they need to spend here to see the monument and anything around it.
I really think you could probably see everything in a half a day. I think if you knew your driving schedule would allow for you to hop off the interstate, go up here, see this, and spend half a day there and get back on your schedule and go to the next location, you could see it in half a day. But I think really to do it justice, you probably do want to spend a day, and that would require spending at least one night. And then we knew we were going to kind of be getting there late on our first day and needing to leave early on our last day. So we opted to stay two nights.
Okay. So if you get there, you know, towards the end of the day, because you've been driving all day, you're going to stay that mm-hmm. night. You can spend the entire next day exploring the area, chill out at the pool, watch the movie, spend a second night, and then be back on the road, and you'll feel like you saw everything.
That's right.
Okay.
And a lot of people, it probably will really depend on where they're going from here. So if they were like us and they're heading west, we were heading west to Cody, Wyoming, which was a good 6 to 7 hour drive through the Bighorn Mountains. So I knew we really needed a whole driving day to get that 6 to 7 hours in before dark and through the, you know, I wanted to allow plenty of time to get through the mountainous part in case it was challenging. So it really just kind of depends on which way you're going and what your driving schedule looks like. But for us, we really needed to spend the two nights so that we got out early the next day.
Okay, so let's talk about that day that you were able to explore the area. Let's start off with the monument.
Very good. The first thing you'll find there is a CCC visitor center built by the CCC. And it's a great place to stop and meet your park rangers and find out what they recommend. And they have this beautiful painting of the Devil's Tower with a bear climbing up it. So one of the legends about the tower is that some girls were out playing and some bears came along and started to attack the girls, and that they climbed on these rocks for safety and started praying to the Great Spirit, which then rose the rocks up from the ground. And so that's the legend of how this tower came into existence. And for many of the like Native American tribes, that's the story associated with it. And so they have a really neat painting in the visitor center and explanation of that story. So it's a good place to get your bearings. And then for us, we opted to do what they call the Tower Trail. It's a little over a mile long, and it'll start you off at the base of the tower where there's a boulder field, which is kind of fun. I know I've mentioned before that my younger son doesn't like hiking. Like, he just really doesn't like hiking, but he likes climbing over rocks. So he was entertained. Both the boys liked kind of climbing around in these big boulders at the base of the tower. And then we kind of set off around the trail, and it's a really pretty trail, lots of ponderosa pines. And so at one point, you get a beautiful view of the river valley below. And it doesn't seem like looking at this tower would be all that thrilling, because it's just like, it's just this tower, right? But at every curve in the trail, you just saw it from a different angle, and it kind of changed in color and it changed in lighting. And for some reason, there was just something kind of awe-inspiring about it. So we really enjoyed just walking around, looking at it, taking pictures, and making our way around there.
It really is otherworldly, right? Like, it feels like you should be in awe of it when you're seeing it.
Yeah. And I mean, on a trip where we are going so many different places that were so beautiful, like Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons, we had kind of questioned, well, would this be even worth stopping at? Should we stop here? And we really had a lovely time. So I think it's just one of those things that it's a cool place. It's interesting, it's just an interesting formation and in a beautiful area. So I definitely recommend making a stop and definitely doing a hike while you're there so that you really get connected to this monument and understand what it is.
What other kinds of things are there to do within the National Monument site?
One of the most popular things to do there is climbing it. So the Devil's Tower itself is about the height of a 50 to 60 story tall building. It's, I think, over 800 feet tall. And the way the rocks are formed, the cracks along them are apparently really good for a certain kind of climbing. So that's a popular activity. Now, when we went in June, there wasn't a lot of that going on because in June they have a voluntary climbing restriction. Since this area is really revered by a lot of Native American tribes, they limit the climbing on the rock during June. Since that's a time when there would be more ceremonies in the area. You'll also see prayer cloths and sometimes little bags in the trees, and you're asked not to touch those or photograph them because this is really a a living area for the Native American tribes. So there weren't a lot of climbers while we were there, but we did see a couple making their way up the tower.
Now, which I've heard can be a little controversial, did the visitor center, did you feel that they did, you know, that they really made the effort to sort of, you know, expose you to a little of that history?
I did. I felt like of a lot of the places we went in the West, that this was one that definitely seemed like they were more connected to the present day Native American history and traditions, instead of just saying, here's what happened here. You know, this is still a living spot where it's being used by Native American tribes. And they show respect for that in several different ways in the park.
So if you really want to learn more about that, you can do so and feel like you're able to respect the traditions
right.
that are going on right now and everything. Okay, that's good to know, because we've seen some national park sites hit it out of the park on that, like, hit it out of the park. But like Shenandoah, we really felt like they made a tremendous effort to educate visitors on like the relocation, you know, things that happened in history. And then we've been to some that we felt like just glossed over that part, you know.
Right. And one of the neat things you'll find in Devil's Tower is a sculpture called the Circle of Sacred Smoke that was made by a Japanese artist. He's planned 7 of these sculptures to be put in sacred spots around the world. The first one was in the Vatican, and the second one, I think, is in India, and so this is the third one, and it sits quite a ways below the tower, so if you make your way to it, you can get a really neat view of the tower through this sculpture of with a circle of smoke, and it makes for a great picture, and again, it kind of focuses on that idea of peace and connectivity and sacredness of this area.
All right, so what else did you do?
Well, while you're at the Sacred Smoke Sculpture, if you go there, you will be in the middle of a prairie dog town. And again, even though some families might really get excited by bison, our family is all about the prairie dogs. So that's kind of one of our favorite wildlife to spot. And that's there down toward the base of the tower. And then the final thing that we did that we really loved is, since we were staying just outside of the park gate, it made it easy to go into the park at night. So one of the things our family has done a lot of times when we travel, we end up being so far out of the park that, you know, we leave at supper time and we haven't really been in very many parks at night. So this was kind of a special opportunity, and my husband and son went back in to do some night photography. They're kind of just learning how to do that and take the starry sky pictures. And so they got like a picture of the tower with the Milky Way behind it. But they also have lots of astronomy programs there at night. Since this area of Wyoming is pretty empty, you get some awesome views of the sky. So I really recommend doing a night sky program. We had done one at the Grand Canyon, and our kids loved that. It was just really cool to look through the telescopes and actually, you know, see the rings on the planets and the craters on the planets and all of that kind of thing. So that's something you would have the opportunity to do here at the Devil's Tower.
And you know what, for any of our listeners that aren't already following you on Instagram over at Travels with Birdie, they really should do so, because, you know, you are a great example of traveling with, you know, tweens and teens in a lot of different areas. But one of the things that's been really inspiring to watch is how you've been able to harness sort of a family, you know, interest or hobby in photography and use that to engage, you know, your kids as you travel.
That's right. Yeah. It really gives them something to do that they, you know, they're learning and they enjoy kind of making their memories that way too. So we really are excited to share that with them.
Yeah, and that's been very inspiring for us to watch. And, you know, our boys have been asking to take pictures. And we're like, you know what? That's, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, that's a great way for them to engage with, like, the activity and want to take pictures. So you've definitely, we enjoy watching that, you know, transformation in your family. And it's inspired us for sure. So thank you so much for reviewing the Devil's Tower KOA in Devil's Tower, Wyoming. Did you fit in everything that you did, or did I rush you off?
That was it. Okay. I know it's kind of there's not a lot to do there, but it's totally worth doing.
All right. That was a good way to sum it up.
We were glad we went.
Yeah. So it's not a huge, you're not going to spend a long time there, but it's worth the trip.
Yeah, and you know, on some of these kind of road trips where you are packing a little too much in, which is what I'm really guilty of doing, feeling like we have to stop here and we have to stop here and we have to stop here. It was kind of nice to be like, oh, okay, we only need to spend a few hours in the park, and then we had a few hours in the campground. You know, it's one of those places where if you get your fill of the park, come back to your trailer and do your laundry and hang out in the pool, and you're in a pretty spot to do it. So
all right.
It's good to have those days too.
Great. And I will definitely link up to your blog post because you have all your pictures in there and everything. And I'll put that in the show notes for all of our listeners to head on over there and check that out. And also a big thank you to Jayco to see an entire line of their RVs. Visit jayco.com. They've got all their 2017s up. And also thank you very much to Progressive for sponsoring the show. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. And Carrie, thanks so much for another fantastic review. I can't wait to put all these together for like in some sort of like big, huge post of like, just go and do Carrie's trip from last summer, yeah. Folks.
And I hope, you know, maybe by like January or February, I'll get all the blog posts done on this trip.
Oh, I know. You're keeping us all hanging, of course. You know, yeah. You're suspending our travel, you know, bliss from the summer. So that's okay. It'll get us through these cold, dark, winterizing times up here in the Northeast. So that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. And until we talk to you next time, thank you so much. And we'll see you at the campground.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.